Hey, Becca, what's the best platform to sell an online course with?
The only answer is Kajabi. It's an all-in-one platform where you can host your course or your membership and your blog and your website and a podcast and your email all in one.
And even better, you can get a free 30-day trial of Kajabi to see why we love it so much.
See the links below or head to teachwellonline.com/Kajabi to get a 30-day free trial. And you can play around with your course, with your membership, and see all the tools it has to offer to grow your business.
If you want to teach well online, teach a journey.
Welcome to the Teach Well Online podcast, where we are currently in a series of going through the entire alphabet, A to Z, on how you can teach well online.
In today's episode, we're going to go on a journey, so to speak. So we're going to connect how an online course is a lot like traveling. It's a lot like going from point A to point B and reaching your final destination. So we're going to talk about the destination. We're going to talk about the map. We're going to talk about the places that you're going to go and how that fits into actually creating an online course. I'm also interviewing a good friend of mine, Michael Alsop, who runs a school that's centered around a hero's journey. So it's going to give us some really good insight on how we can actually think about learning as a journey and not just information.
Today, we're walking through how to teach a journey.
And we know a few things about journeys because our family actually really loves to travel.
Yes, physical journeys we know a lot about and and digital journeys as well. But yeah, we love to travel with our kids.
It's actually a value. We've over the years, we've sat down and kind of thought through what are some of the values that we hold as a family, especially as our kids are getting older. And so one of those values is traveling. And we thankfully have been to some really nice places. We've been to some really low key places, but we try to get our kids in the car or on a plane as much as we can and just to get them out and to see the world. What are some of your favorite places that we've been so far?
Well, my children know that my favorite color is Mediterranean Sea. We loved going to Greece the last two summers. That wasn't like, oh, we're going to go to Greece now every summer. And every time I tell people or it comes up in conversation that, you know, we went to Greece last summer and the summer before that, you immediately think of Greece as like, oh, how posh, how crazy expensive. But the reality is like, it's the opposite.
Yeah, we choose not to go to Disney and we save money by actually going to
that's true. Greece is actually, I think that's the most surprising fact that people learn about it is that through our journeys going to Greece, it's a very poor country. It's a very humble country and it's not as like glamorous, like the parts that we've gone to. Yes, you can find glamour in like the very tiny areas, but Athens and Corfu and Crete, very low key, very family friendly. We've loved it. And my other favorite place that we go to practically now on a yearly basis is New Mexico.
Yeah, New Mexico.
I grew up going there every summer and now you love it. Mm-hmm. And so that actually last summer, the summer before we went, I can't remember. As our girls have become more aware of what the journey entails, they started to ask a lot of questions and I recognized, okay, we need to try to help them understand what it's like to travel by physically writing down like on a piece of paper what our journey would be like. Some reason, you know, we don't take the journey like the most direct path sometimes. So it's a little hard for them to understand when they're now 7 and 9, but we started this when they were about 5 and 7, where we would say, okay, you know, we're going to go to the cabin in New Mexico, in northern New Mexico, but you don't fly a plane to northern New Mexico.
No.
It's a journey.
It is.
We wrote down on a piece of paper, okay, we're going to wake up really early in the morning. We're going to drive to the airport. We're going to unload our bags. We're going to go through security. And I wrote down everything from all those steps to the airport. And by the way, yes, we're going to northern New Mexico, but we're first going to fly to Albuquerque. Then we're going to drive to Santa Fe and then we're going to spend the night in Santa Fe. And then we're going to drive. Lots of destinations.
And they bought into it because they were checking in, like they were self-assessing where they were at every point in the journey. They were looking forward to certain parts of the trip that were beyond just the final destination. Like it was a fun thing for them and it helped them kind of experience the patience needed to get there.
They thought it was so crazy because on the paper I wrote down last year, I was like, okay, we're going to wake up and we're going to, you know, drive to the airport really early and we'll get a snack, like a breakfast snack at the airport in Richmond, Virginia. But then we're actually going to have lunch in Atlanta. And they were like, what? And they're like, and then we're going to have dinner in Santa Fe. And that just, they thought that was so cool to be able to be like, oh my gosh, all of our meals are at different states and different cities. And that was part of the journey for them to just, again, break down into those bite-sized pieces of, yes, we're going from Richmond, Virginia to Northern New Mexico, but there's a lot of things we got to cover along the way.
Yeah, it's been great. Well, if you haven't figured out, this whole episode is about traveling journey theme, and we're going to get to how that connects to an online course here in a minute. But I want to ask you a question. This is actually a question that we ask in our Course Writers Coaching Workshop. We're actually launching our next round of that soon. So if you're interested in that, go to teachwellonline.com/writers or check the show note. It's basically a group coaching workshop where we're going to take you through your idea to a fully written course in just 3 weeks. We're going to help you write your course, which is the hardest thing for most people to do. And so if you're interested in that, go check it out. But this is part of this Course Writers Coaching. I asked this question, which of the following four ways of traveling would you consider to be the best? Now, you have to get rid of any kind of phobia you might have of maybe airplanes or boats or vehicles or whatever, but just like on its surface, which of these four ways of traveling is the best? The first one, a private jet. It's a direct flight from where you are to your destination. You're going to get there the quickest, direct flight, private jet. Mm. Number two, commercial jet. You're sitting in economy seat and you maybe have multiple layovers. Mm-hmm. Number three.
Very familiar with that.
A private vehicle. You're driving a little bit slower, multiple stops of gas, frequent traffic snarls. Or number four, a Greyhound bus. You're sitting next to a stranger, could take you days to get to where you're going. So mm-hmm. out of those four, which is the best way to get from point A to point B? Is it a private jet, a commercial jet, a private car, or a Greyhound bus?
Well, in my opinion, it's definitely going to be the private jet. Get me on that all day long.
Absolutely. That is the answer. Why? Because it gets you from point A to point B the fastest and the most direct, efficient way possible. And it's the most comfortable way to get there, right? And so money aside, airplanes aside, the best way to get from point A to point B is a direct flight to get you there. Well, an online course has to be written just like a private jet journey. That's what we need to think through when we're writing an online course. It's not just throwing an encyclopedia at somebody. It's not just giving them a textbook full of all of this information. We actually want to craft and create a journey for them to embark on. And how we write that journey and how we craft it for them is everything.
Traveling is all about getting from point A to point B. We help our kids understand how we're getting from Richmond, Virginia, all the way up to Northern New Mexico. It's about that journey, and traveling is the journey. Education is about getting someone else to a place that you are at, whether it's skill, service, or life experience. And of course, your course is walking them through that journey as you are educating them.
So let's look at some of the elements of the journey, and then we'll kind of dig a little bit deeper on them. So first of all, when you think about traveling, you have a destination, the place that you're going to. Well, in an online course, that is the outcome. That is the transformation that we want the learner to become after the course. In traveling, you have a map that, or you know, modern day maps or GPS, right? That mm-hmm. that point the way to where you're going and how you're going to get there. Well, in an online course, that's an outline. That's how you outline your lessons and your sections to get you to that destination. In traveling, you pass through a lot of different places. So if you're driving on the road, you're going through cities and states. If you're flying in the air, you might be flying across the ocean or countries, different waypoints. In an online course, those are your lessons. Those are the places that you may stop in for a moment, but you're literally just going through to get to your final destination.
And you have to go through those places to get to your final
yes.
destination.
So let's take a look, first of all, at that destination, the outcome, who it is that we want our learner to become. So like when you get in a car or a plane, like what's the very first thing you think of? Like if we're going to be taking our journey to, say, going down to Florida to a beach from where we are here in Virginia, and we get the car packed and then we turn it on, right?
All I'm thinking of is, okay, like I can't wait to be there. And our kids are thinking, how long is it going to take to
get
there?
Right. But the only thing that's on our mind is like Florida, beach. We can't wait to get there. When you start an online course, when you start writing an online course, you should always start with the end in mind. You should get people excited about it. You should get them going, I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to get there.
Can you imagine if you open up an online course and the very first video was drudgery? Like you would never get in the car. We would never get in the car with our kids and be like, okay, it's a 14-hour road trip. This is going to be terrible. You're going to hate every bit of it. In fact, I didn't even pack you snacks that you liked. You don't have any entertainment. You just have to sit here. Like, I would never do that.
Nobody would do that.
And you wouldn't open up your course saying, this is going to be hard, but stick with me. Like, you're never going to say that. You should get into that car, turn on that car, or go to the airport, or open up your course with excitement because you're going somewhere awesome.
When you're thinking about actually crafting an online course as a journey instead of, again, just like a textbook, one of the biggest things that I see go wrong with this is that people start an online course with the basics, the dreaded basics. And basics are important. You have to establish a foundation. So depending on whether you're teaching a skill or a service, you have to start somewhere. But there's nothing more deflating than getting into an online course and then the very first thing that you're confronted with is the basics, right? You need to start with the end. Like, here is who I am. Here is what you are going to become. This is where we're going. This is how we're going to get there. Get excited. It's going to be great. We can't wait to get there. You got to start with that.
And if you are listening to this and you have a course and you're like, oh shoot, I literally open up my course immediately talking about the basics. That's fine because you're here, you're listening. I'm so glad. But what's happening is your learner is opening it up. They're listening to the basics and they're really thinking, did I really want to go on this trip? Like, I'm kind of doubting my airfare now. I'm kind of doubting the journey because this is not fun. I know it sounds crazy to focus on the fun in the beginning, but just as our kids would not be excited to get into the car and we start going over the basics of the car and how the car works, they don't care. They just want to go to Florida. They will learn about the basics along the way. Your learner will learn about the basics along the way. But when I first start and I first jump into your course, I first jump into my seat in that car, I want to get excited.
Traveling is certainly part of the journey, but what defines a journey is where you're going. What makes the journey is the end point, the destination.
So just like we plan out our trips, whether it's in the skies or on the road, we have a plan. We've pulled up our, you know, destination on our Maps app. We've got our tickets ready to go that let us know like where our layovers are. We know the plan. It's usually the most direct plan, right? It's the most efficient, the most logical. This is when it comes to your course. You should be able to pull up your course and know the map or the outline of where your learner is going.
So there's a couple things about an outline. This is very similar to like the table of contents that you would see in a book, but how you write that is very important. Remember, we want to create a journey that's just like a private jet experience, that you hop on a plane and you're going from point A to point B in the fastest, quickest, most efficient and fun way as possible. We want to create an outline that will guide the learner from point A to point B in the same kind of way. And so how we break down our content into lessons, how we break down our content into sections, that creates an outline, and the outline is really important. So a couple tips on that. Just like you said, Becca, it needs to be logical. It needs to make sense. If I am going from Virginia to Florida, I'm probably not going to go over to Washington State to get there. But do you know how many times in education speak, we literally go the most inefficient way possible to get to where we're going? Like, we take rabbit trails and we take detours and we go all over the place instead of guiding the learner to the destination where they need to go.
Which is a great just kind of pause point to say, we are highly aware that there are AI tools and ChatGPT exist to help you write an outline. However, who knows your content best and who is the one, as we've said on previous episodes, those things can create, but you are the creative. And while it may populate a map, it may populate an outline for you, it doesn't mean that those AI features have created the most efficient way to lead your learner to success. So using tools like that are awesome. However, it's really important that you know your content and you know backwards, upside down, the most efficient and logical way to get to your destination.
Another reason why it's so important to have a well-crafted outline is that the learner always needs to know where they are in the journey. So I think about, you've got the kids in the back seat, right? And they're always like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? No, right? We're always watching our GPS and we're like, okay, we're in this state or we're in this city and we have this many miles to go. If you think about an airline pilot who's always tracking waypoints and they're flying from one waypoint to the next, they always know where they are at any given time. How many times, if you've written an online course or if you thought about writing one, have you actually thought about that? Have you thought about, okay, I need to break this down and outline it in a way where the learner can self-track their progress every step of the way. They never lose sight of where they are. They never lose sight of where they are going. A well-crafted outline can do that. So you have a destination, which is your outcome. You have a map, which is your outline. So now you have places that you're going to be traveling through. Those are your lessons. And we did a whole podcast episode on teaching through bite-sized pieces. It's important to craft your lessons into bite-sized chunks. And I think about when traveling, there are many times that you need to stop and you need to take a break. You need to take a bathroom break. You need a pit stop. You need to go get some food, get some snacks, let people just get
stretch
out and stretch their legs,
yes.
Right? That's very, even if you're on an airplane, you just got to get up and you got to walk around. When I craft an online course, I have to think about creating it in a way that I know how people learn online. Most of the time, people don't sit there for hours on end and take the online course. You've got to actually break it down into lessons that allow people to get off the bus, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. To go stretch their legs and to come back. I was reading this audiobook and this guy was talking about one of the best ways to read a book. He was encouraging everybody, just make sure that you finish the chapter before you put the book down. So don't just stop and throw a bookmark in there. He's like, finish the chapter. So that way, whenever you come back to read again, you're starting on a fresh chapter. You're starting on a fresh page, right? You're not trying to find your way and where you left off. Well, very similarly, there's a whole theory to creating great lessons. That's something that we teach. But it's important to understand that you want to break your content down into bite-sized lessons that allow people to come and go and still maintain their progress.
We've really enjoyed having guests on this podcast for segments. And it's fun to have this conversation with you, Chad, about like, oh, well, who would be the best person to bring in for this? And who would be the best person to talk about that? And when we were discussing that this episode was on the journey, immediately I thought of our girls' school. They go to Acton Academy, and Acton Academy is huge on the hero's journey. And we were like, oh my gosh, we've got to have Michael Alsop, the head of school, come talk to you about the hero's journey, which ties into an online course. No, we don't send our girls to a school through an online course. It's a physical school that they physically go to every day. However, there are so many threads of what the hero's journey and how that impacts your course and how that impacts just the way that people learn. We're definitely excited to get Michael on the podcast to talk to you about this, Chad. So I was not able to be on this interview. I was pretty sick the day that you chatted with him, but this is such a great insight into what the hero's journey looks like. The hero's journey is applicable not just to the learning at school, but the learning online. And so enjoy this conversation with Chad and Michael.
All right. Hey, Michael, I am so glad that you are joining us and speaking into the podcast. So can you tell us a little bit real quick about yourself? Introduce yourself. What is it that you currently do?
Sure. Yes. My name is Michael Alsop. I'm the head of school at Acton Academy West End here outside of Richmond, Virginia. We are in year two of our school, a small micro school that is growing. We have lots of interest doing interviews right now for applicants for this coming fall and just an exciting season to be in. My role as head of school is more of a coach or a guide. And so getting to join students on their journey that they are on is a huge passion of mine, and really excited to be able to share a little bit more of that story with y'all today.
And I love how you just said journey, because that's what this episode is all about. But before we get to that, so you are part of Acton Academy West End, but Acton is a larger network, right?
Right. Yeah. So it's been around a little over 10 years. The main campus opened in Austin, Texas, and then we applied mid-pandemic. We had a daughter that was turning five. My wife and I, and then my sister-in-law and brother-in-law all started the school. Both had five-year-olds looking at educational options, and we're thinking about homeschooling, but we are very entrepreneurial. We run a couple of other businesses as well. And so realizing homeschooling wasn't really an option, a realistic option for us, and then found the Acton model and fell in love with it.
And that's why you're here, the Acton model. So there's something that makes Acton different. It's different from maybe a public school model. It's a little bit different than homeschool in a way. So,
Sure. And
I remember reading the book. I'm hooked on Acton, full disclaimer. My kids are part of Acton Academy, right? Fully embrace it. Acton is based on a book. That's how I first got introduced to it, was I heard about the school that you were starting, but then we read the book and it's centered around something called the hero's journey. And that's what I'd love for you to talk about. What is the hero's journey?
Sure. Yeah. And hero's journey is not, original to Acton. directors and movies and stories have been following this kind of archetype for hundreds of thousands of years of this idea. And I took notes because it is a little long, so I want to make sure I hit of them. But this idea that you leave home, that you are on a call to adventure. One of my favorite examples is Star Wars. I don't know if we have any Star Wars fans, but thinking about Luke Skywalker and the calling that he feels when he leaves home, he enters the unknown, he meets a mentor, everybody knows Yoda, you know, and meets fellow travelers along the way, some allies or helpers we see in Han Solo. And then they enter this road of trials, which is really one of the fascinating parts of it from a school perspective that I can dig into a little bit more. There's a final showdown and then a return home having changed. And so Acton itself is really learner driven. And so when we say learner driven, we focus on allowing learners to make decisions for themselves. I am in a studio. We don't have classrooms. We have studios, like think Google startup. Like it's just an open space. There are no desks. There are no teachers. We have guides. And so when we talk about a guide or a mentor on a hero's journey, we are in this trip with them. Like I am having my own road of trials that I am facing trying to grow a school that your daughters may be having trying to learn, you know, fourth grade math. And so those trials that we talk about often are resistance, resisting to make the decision to do something, distraction, allowing ourselves to be distracting or to be distracted to others. And then victimhood, this idea that life isn't fair or it's easy for everyone else, but not for me. We really question that and say, you know, oh, is that really true? Is it true that you're not good at math? Who told you that? Mm. Like, why do you think that? And so, you know, in your perspective, you know, we're talking about course creation and things like this, because my wife and I have done online courses for photographers, and it is fascinating to be able to take them on this journey and to feel the roadblocks that they're going to hit and to anticipate those. You know, I may have a call to action that I want you to do in my course, but you may feel resistance against that or like a victimhood, like, well, everybody else can do that, but I don't have anything to share in that vein or whatever. And so it is really powerful to question that and to have people in your life that will question that. And that is the main role of a guide. The first rule of a guide is to not answer a question. Mm. So if your daughter came up to me and was like, Mr. Michael, what should I be working on today? I would put it back in their court and be like, well, what goals did you set for this week?
I love it.
You know, and they say, oh, I want to get to 30% in Khan Academy math. I'm like, well, that sounds like a great goal. But the resistance or the distraction or, well, this seems easier or this seems more fun. It's like, okay, well, we can look at that at the end of the week. And did you meet your goal or not? What's working? What's not working? What needs to change? And, you know, there is those trials that they come up against, but as the mentor, the guide, I get to walk with them through that, let them know that they are a hero on their journey and they have choices to make. And that is their choice.
So you actually drew a really great connection that there is a pretty good connection between like online course and this learner-driven, self-guided, right? Because most people come into an online course and they're doing it by choice and right. they're taking it and they kind of begin this self-motivating, self-driven journey to complete it. And they're going to face trials. They're going to face some resistance, probably all self-created. Like, do I have time to do this? Do I want to finish this? You know, all of this stuff. But they have to make that choice. What are ways, especially within the Acton system, like what are ways that you keep learners motivated and on that journey, especially if they like get through failure and they're feeling defeated? Like how, as a guide, do you encourage them to push through?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we have running teams here in the studio. So groups of three learners together, and they do weekly check-ins. We are having discussions about accountability. And it's so fascinating to think because, you know, I'm in my mid 30s and I've learned this stuff like in the past, like 3 to 5 years, you know, going through coaching myself and going through leadership development. And I just see these 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 year olds like having hard conversations and saying, well, you said you were going to do this, but you actually did this. Why is that? And there's no judgment there. They're genuinely curious as to why did you make that choice? You know, you said you were going to complete this course by the end of the week and you didn't, you know, You know, we want to speak with honesty, encouragement, and truth. You didn't do that. And so I'm going to hold you accountable to that. And there is some tension, you know, there are hard times. There is failure every day. We say at Acton a lot, we want them to fail early, cheaply, and often. And they are feeling that and working through that and not being shamed by that or overwhelmed by that. And it is a process that as a guide, we have the opportunity to kind of hold up a mirror and say, hey, this is what you told us. This is what you told the tribe, but this is what you did. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's a disconnect. What's going on? And they get to work through that if they choose to. And some of them do and some of them don't. And we'll address it next week, you know, and until they're ready to talk about it.
That's awesome. One of the things about the ACTA model is that a lot of times they know where they're going, but sometimes they don't know where they're going. They're on this journey, and that journey is just taking them day by day as they go, and they're kind of figuring out new pathways forward and all this other stuff. How are ACTA learners kind of pointed in the right direction? Like, so kind of digging deeper into this guiding, because I think about like with online course, right? We have to sometimes set a path, but we do give incredible amount of freedom for people to choose how they want to proceed down that path. As an ACTA, right? I feel like you've got one of the best jobs ever, because you just get to sit in the room and watch these kids just figure it out and learn and grow. But is there a way that you're like, you're pointing them towards a North Star in a way? Is there a way that you're saying like, how do you navigate that?
Sure. Yeah. So we have a system of the accountability of like Alcoholics Anonymous, and the contracts that that organization created is a big part of the kind of the structure of ACTON, but then also the badge system of the Boy Scouts. And so we have a badge system that, you know, for our Discovery Studio, which is technically like in a traditional school, first through fifth grade in elementary school, we have a badge system that they get to work through. And so those badges are available for them to look through, to examine. You know, in our mind, it makes the most sense to go through math level one, then math level two. And so as they work through those things, that is the path that we have kind of laid out for them to work through. And there are badges that they have to earn in order to go on to Odyssey, which is what we call our middle school that we're hoping to launch in the next couple of years. And so there is this path, but it makes me think of in an online course, you know, you may have modules or lessons that are broken down. And sure, like you want to look at the pricing module, like you can jump down there and you can dig into that first if that's what you want to. But, you know, creating a good outline that they can follow, and that's a big thing for ACTON as well. Like we have everything posted multiple places around the room. So if they come to me and say, Mr. Michael, what are we working on next? I'll say, have you checked the schedule? Because the schedule is available. Like you don't need to ask me. We are creating self-responsibility in them that you can find this information. You don't need me to tell it to you. And so it's fascinating getting to see that play out as well.
That's cool. So last question, I'm going to kind of throw you on the spot with this for your advice, but the ACTON way, right? It's moving away from this idea that the teacher is the hero and the teacher possesses all of the superior knowledge. And it really focuses on the learners, the hero, which is case in point, they're on their own journey and they're figuring it out. So in thinking of this, a lot of times when we write courses or online courses, we do have to keep the learner in mind. What would be, based on your ACTON experience and what you're doing from a day to day, like what would be one piece of advice that you might give to a course writer that would help them make sure that they keep the learner the hero and not themselves?
Yes, that is a fascinating question. Because as a course creator, you are coming in as the expert. And that's why someone may buy from you. Yes, I, especially at a childhood level, and even as an adult level, this idea that you are a genius, you know, who is on a journey to find your calling to change the world. That is what we are doing every day. We believe that every learner that walks through our door has this calling within them, that they are going to find a passion to change the world. And the thought of a course writer getting to play a small role in that for somebody, like in our instance, it was photography courses. Like we have the opportunity to introduce them to concepts that could change their family trajectory. You know, mom may be working a 9-to-5 job and this would allow her to stay home, you know, do some weddings on the weekends, maybe some shoots during the week. But that is a life shift for them. Or maybe mom's already stay at home and she's looking to make some extra income. Like, we have the ability to impart some knowledge or some expertise in that, knowing that that is the journey that they are on, and inviting them on that, challenging them. I think challenge is really important. Calling out the villains that are the trials that they're going to face, the monsters, the resistance, the distraction, the victimhood. Like, I know that you're not going to want to do this, and that's okay. Like, how are you going to overcome that if you choose to? And if you don't, you know, maybe this isn't the path for you. And what are we going to do about that? Do we need to readjust or refocus? So yeah, that's kind of a roundabout answer, but there is a lot of connection points, I think. It is fascinating to think about.
There was a lot packed into that. And I think the thing that resounded was calling and transformation. And that's what we talk about when we're talking about writing an online course, is that it is focused on a transformation. What is the outcome? You know, who are you before you start the course? Who are you when you end the course? And who have you transformed into through that? And that was an incredible answer for that question.
Awesome,
thank you so much for that. Real quick, like, if anybody's interested in Acton, or particularly Acton, where you are, where could they find you, or maybe learn more about it?
Yeah. So actonacademy.com is the main network website. If you'd like to launch an Acton, there's a whole process you can go through. There are about 300 of them around the world. They're up to like 18,000 applicants. And so it is just growing and growing. We're, again, outside of Richmond, Virginia. We have a new one that just opened on the south side, a new one that's going to open next year on the north side. And so really excited about the community that's growing. It's great for us to be able to network with other schools. When you start a micro school, you know, parents, some parents' concerns are like, well, what about sports, or what about prom? And I'm like, well, they're 5 and 6 right now. Like, we're not worried about prom yet. But with these other schools opening around, like, there will be networking events and things like that that we're excited about. But yeah, then ours is actonacademywestend.com, or Instagram at actonacademywestend. We'd love for you to follow along and get to see Chad and Becca skating around on roller skates at our family skate night. But yes, it is really awesome. Because that's another big part about Acton, is that it's a family journey. Like, we don't have Acton students, we have Acton families. And we are calling parents onto their hero's journey as well. We're challenging them, you know, how are you showing up and leading your learner, showing them, like, I'm on my own hero's journey as well. So it's an exciting time.
Yeah, you brought so much for us to think about in terms of creating a journey for others, and I can't thank you enough. Thanks so much.
Yes, man. Thanks.
In this episode, we've walked you through how to teach a journey and how you can look at your destination, your map, the places that you're taking your learner through all throughout your online course. And, you know, there is a phrase that's like, getting there is half the fun. Yeah. I think that's true, but I think the destination is where the fun really begins. And if you have effectively written an online course, your learner is so excited to reach their final destination.
Yeah, it's not just about completing the lesson, it's about completing the journey. And once the journey has completed, then you get to live it up. You're where you wanted to go. The vacation has started. It's fun. We have to think about that when we are actually creating an online course. It's not about living in the course forever. It's about using the course to get them somewhere in their life, whether that's a skill, whether that's a service, again, whether that's lived experience, that they can truly go and thrive and be transformed. And so it's just a mindset shift. That's what this episode is really all about, is just getting you to think, hey, an online course is not just about textbook and knowledge. It's about crafting a journey so that people can then go enjoy it and use whatever their newfound knowledge is that they can go and do.
Recently, you were on the Brands That Book podcast, and you said something that we've talked about a little bit here, but you said it really a little bit more profound, I think, on that podcast, that you are not trying to write an online course that is a fire hose of information. You're providing a formula. And we've talked about that. But I hope that this episode has given you, like, oh my gosh, I can't write formulas. Formulas are complicated. Formulas are math. I don't like math. Huh? But who doesn't love to travel? Even if it's just down the road or down the street or on a quick weekend getaway, wherever it is, like, we all love to explore new destinations. And so as you are writing your course, whether that's on your own or you're a part of our course writers coaching, we are going to take you on the journey of creating a course that is a formulation, that is a journey. And we just kind of spilled some of the formula to you, the destination, the map, and the places that you use throughout your course. You are leading your learner on a journey. And so the reality is, yes, writing a course, oh gosh, that can feel so daunting, especially when you're staring at a blank page. But when you think of it as, oh, I'm actually taking a learner on a journey, that's a lot more fun to think of. If you've been listening to this and you're thinking, wow, I love that. I definitely want that. I really want some help writing my online course. I want you to imagine that in 3 weeks, you have a fully written online course. Because right now you have ideas. As we've talked about what the destination is, what the map is, what places you're taking your learner through, you've likely had ideas and like little like, oh, I think that, and I think this. But what if you could partner with us and within 3 weeks, you had a fully written online course ready to go? If that is something that you were like, yes, sign me up for, we want to invite you to be a part of our next course writers coaching. You can check when the next dates are available in the show notes. We're starting one really soon and we'd love for you to be there with us.
Join us next week. And remember, anyone can teach well online
if they know how.